Joshua 24, verse 3. I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, that's the Euphrates, and led him through all the land of Canaan and gave him Isaac. I took your father Abraham from beyond the Euphrates, that is, out of Ur of the Chaldees. Well, he had done the same in bringing Israel out of Egypt, and now at this point in Joshua, bringing them into the land of promise, just as he had done to Abraham. And he's saying, Abraham then is your pattern. But when they were in Egypt, they were idolaters. Ezekiel 20, they took the idols of Egypt with them through the Red Sea. And later on, when they rebel against Moses, they say to him, look, we told you in the land of Egypt, we did not want to come. We did not want to leave. We didn't want to do this. You kind of railroaded us onto this. And we know that in the wilderness, in their hearts, they returned to Egypt. And at one point they said, let us make us a captain and go back there. Kept reminiscing how life was far better back then. We had nice food. We had fish, not just this manna every day, etc. And yet God brought them out. And he says he did this with an outstretched arm. In other words, God forced through that salvation intention that he had for his people. Although they said, oh, well, we didn't really want to leave. Well, of course they did. I mean, they cried to God and said, look, this is unbearable here. Get us out of here. So it's like a lot of people in the world, because Egypt is like the world. They don't want to be there. They don't like this, that, or the other. They desperately dislike it. And they turn to God, but actually in their hearts, they don't really want to leave it. They like the idea of salvation, but actually, once the process starts, no, we don't want it. So God still wants to save through all that. He took them out of Egypt, and that is what he did to Abraham. See verse 3, I took your father Abraham. God told Abraham in Ur to leave his family and to leave his homeland. And God would give him another family instead of the family he left, and he would give him another land in place of the land he left. And he would give it to him forever. Well, Abraham didn't leave his family. When he left Ur, he left with his father and with Lot. He did not separate from them. And it was only when, first of all, they moved from Ur to Haran, and then his father, Terah, died there. And then, only then, when his dad died, did he move on towards Canaan. And that would have been quite some time that they spent living in Haran. And then he still has Lot with him, who is his relative, and it's only once they're in the land that they both get wealthy, and there's a problem with having enough pasture for the flocks, and so they agree to divide, and Lot himself pushes off to Sodom. So you see there how, well, Abraham was not exactly a stellar example of obedience. God took him. And we wonder why he actually left Ur. Well, I don't think it's really the full picture to say that, oh, there was this righteous man, Abraham, and God just appeared to him and said, oh, leave. So he did. Well, yes, on one hand, but don't forget his father went with him. And there's historical evidence that the people in Ur were fearful of attacks by various enemies, and a lot of them migrated out towards the east anyway. And it's the same in Haran, that again, that there's evidence that the community there was also under pressure. And that, again, there was a migration, westward, that they left westward to Haran, and then again westward from Haran towards Israel, the Promised Land. So, you know, there were other factors there. And I think that Abraham recognizes this in Genesis 20, verse 13, when he says that God caused me to wander from my father's house. He recognizes this. And time again and again, it is said, as it is said here, that God took Abraham. He was called to leave of his own volition, and I would say that he didn't totally. And so God, as it were, muscled in and sort of dragged him out, just as he did with Lot, getting him out of Sodom. He clearly didn't want to leave. He was faffing around and whatever. And we're told that God, being merciful to him, the angel took him by the hand and pulled him out. So then, this is what was going on with Israel. They likewise had not really wanted to leave Egypt. They did in a sense, but not in another sense. There were some push factors, big push factors. But in their hearts, they didn't leave. And yet God brought them out. And now, at this point in Joshua, this is why the Abraham thing's being mentioned, that they are being brought into the same land that Abraham was brought into. So you see, when you look at yourself and when you think that, well, I'm on the track to God's kingdom, I have been brought out of Egypt, I've been baptized, I've passed through the Red Sea, or in their case, passed through the Jordan, now I'm on the track to inheriting the kingdom, it is all of grace. You have actually been kicking and screaming in resistance and dragging your feet, etc. Sure, you like the idea of leaving, who wouldn't? But when it actually comes to it, the old thought patterns, the ways of Egypt, die hard. And it is all of God's grace. Now, when you go out on the street and you offer New Testaments to people, you preach the gospel to people, you're trying to do for them what God did to you, what he did to Abraham, what he did to Israel, to bring you out, to bring people out. Just one last point on verse 4. I gave to Isaac Jacob, and I gave to Esau Mount Seir to possess it. A mount or mountain in the Bible is really a kingdom. The mountain of the Lord shall arise in the latter days. The kingdom, that's the idea. The little stone in Daniel 2 becomes a big mountain that fills the whole earth. A mountain is a kingdom. So I gave to Isaac Jacob a seed. And I gave to Esau the kingdom of Seir or Edom. Or Edom is Esau. He gave Isaac a seed, but he gave Esau, who was not, for whatever reason, he chose not to be in the line of salvation, he gave him a kingdom in this life. I think I rather like that, because there's a difference between the believer who is given a seed. It may be your own children, it may be those with whom you work. You're given relationships. You're given people with whom you are going to live forever. But the way of the world, you get your kingdom in this life, and that's it. So it's relationship, eternal relationship, versus a cool life just in this brief life. And of course, we are the seed. We are going that way, the way of permanent eternal relationships with others and hopefully with our own offspring, rather than the kingdoms of this world.